Right, the problem of Parshat Kedoshim is there's too much. Literally, there's just too much. There's like a million mitzvot, and I don't know. I was flitting from mitzvah to mitzvah, trying to decide what to talk about. And I came across, one second, we're going to talk about Shatnez and a Ramban and Ta'amei HaMitzvot. Thank you, Rina. She's carrying you. So you don't come every week, so people weren't drinking, so I didn't make more. But if you promise to come, I'll promise to make you coffee. Okay.
I'll come.
Okay. We're on Perek Kedoshim, Perek Yud Tet, Pasuk Yud Tet. Let's go back a little more. These mitzvot are just like one after the other, one after the other, the other. We'll go to Yud Zayin just to show you how they're not connected at all.
Yud Tet Yud Zayin.
Okay. I put out Chumashim for those of you who don't have a Ramban, because we're going to need the Ramban. It says the Torah, Lo tisna et achicha bilvavecha. You should not hate. Hey, with this chair right here. You should not hate your brother in your heart. Hocheach tochiach. Good morning. Hocheach tochiach et amitecha. You shall surely rebuke your amitecha, your fellow man. Velo tisa alav chet. Very, very famous Hocheach Tochiach. And we've actually done this before in depth about what the level of rebuke. When should a person give rebuke and when should a person not give rebuke? And it's a subject of great rabbinic debate. Should you give rebuke? How should you give rebuke? Is it appropriate to give rebuke if they're not going to listen to you? Nobody gives rebuke anymore. Whatever. Okay. That's not our topic. Lo tikom velo titor et beit amvenei amecha. Should not take nekama, take vengeance. Or netira, or like pay people back. Tikom velo titor. Vengeance is if they don't do something to you. Rebuke is if you do. I don't remember the other way around. One of the others, okay? Meaning you shouldn't. And the Gemara gives two examples. The one example is you go to your neighbor. Your neighbor comes to you and says, can I borrow your rake? And you say to him, you didn't lend me your rake, so I'm not going to lend you my rake. That's nekama. The other one is you go to your neighbor and you say, even though you didn't lend me your rake, I'm going to lend you my rake, you low down, good for nothing. Okay? So one of them is lo tikom and one of them lo titor. The other, but whatever it is, meaning like paying somebody back for whatever they did. Okay. V'havta l'reacha kamocha, ani Hashem. V'havta l'reacha kamocha. Again, that's another shiur. We've gone three shiurim. Hochach tochiach, lo tikom v'lo titor, v'havta l'reacha kamocha. V'havta l'reacha kamocha is actually a huge topic. What does it mean? How can you say it? Is it so simple? We're not going to study. Et chukot, next pasuk. Pasuk yutet. Et chukotai tishmoru. My chukot. Statutes. You see where I am? Yutet. You in Vayikra? Yutet. Yutet, yeah.
Sorry. Which
parak? You brought the wrong one? Oh, that would make sense. That would explain why not. So, good luck. I have.
Is it
parak yutet? Pasuk yutet. Yutet. 1919. Et chukotai tishmoru. You shall guard my statutes. Behemtecha lo tarbiya kila'im. Your behemah, your animal, tarbiya means to is animal husbandry. That's not a word. Husbandry. Meaning you should not intermix the animals as kila'im. Kila'im is a term, meaning a halachic term, that refers to prohibited halachic mixtures. The mitzvah of kila'im appears in 1, 2, 3, 4 contexts maybe. One is intermingling animals. Another one is, mixing the animals, i.e. kla'im of lo tachsom shor, having them plow together, right, draw together. You shouldn't put two different animals together on a yoke, like an ox and a donkey. That's another form of kla'im. What's the third one?
Plants,
seeds, right? There's a whole huge, huge area of prohibited mixtures of plants that you have to be aware of. In general, mostly it's grain. The Isur D'Oraita is generally grain and vines. So if anybody grows vines, you have to be careful about that. Okay. Otherwise, the fruit trees are generally not a problem.
But it's
trees.
Not a problem to buy produce that is a product of.
You're not allowed to grow it. You can't plant it. You can't grow it. But once it's grown, you can eat it. Right. Well, we're going to talk about it. We'll get to that at the very end. Okay. And what's the last one? The last form of kalim? Anybody know? Mixed prohibitors? The Torah says. What? Shatnez. Very good. Actually, that's what the Torah says. Behemtecha lo tarbiya klayim. You should not mix your animals tarbiya. Tarbiya means it's a sexual contact. Sadcha lo tizra klayim. You should not plant your seeds, your fields klayim. Ubege kilaim shatnez lo ya'ale alecha. Okay? And ubege klayim in a mixed garment, lo yale shadako, be put upon you. I.e., there's no prohibition of making a garment of Shatnez.
Okay. Wear.
Just can't wear it. Okay. That's it. That's all pasuk. Let's look at Rashi. Why not? What's the big deal? What does it mean, interestingly enough? Why does the Torah say, specifically, at the very beginning of this pasuk, et chukotai tishmaru?
Because they make no sense. And there's not something we can logically answer.
Right. Who says this?
Well, God tells us that. He says, you'll listen to my laws just because you'll listen to them.
1 second. What's a chok? So you are assuming that what's a chok?
Chok is something you do with no reason to do it other than God tells you.
Correct. What's the classic example that we give of that? Now I'm going to quiz you since you started. And if you don't want me to, I won't, but it's fine. What's a classic example in the Torah? What's that? No. When it says chuk. Paraduma. Zot chukata Torah. Right. The classic example we give. Zot chukata Torah. Shetiva Hashem Neymar. Tabir Abnei Yisrael. Vichu Elecha Paraduma. Right. The Paraduma is the classic case that we talk about chok. And the Shlomo HaMelech says, I understood all the mitzvot in the Torah, but except for that one. That one I couldn't understand. Because it seems to be against logic. What's against logic in Paraduma? Paraduma is one of the few mitzvot. It's mitameh et tehorim. Right. If you make the Paraduma, it makes you tameh. And mitaher et tameim. Okay. That's chok. Look at Rashi. So Karen is picking up exactly from Rashi. Rashi says, Yotet et chukotai tishmoru. Ve'eluhem, these are them. Behem techa lo tarbia kilayim. Right? Why? Chukim eile gzeirat melech she'en tam ledavar. These chukim are the gzeirat melech, the decree of the king, she'en tam ledavar. What is she'en tam ledavar? No, is that what you said? Okay, this is what we're gonna dig down deep today.
But it's not that there's no reason. You just don't understand it.
Oh, right. That's the question. Is there no reason, or we don't know the reason? You understand the difference? Right. If you say, what's the point? If you say that there is no reason, what does that mean? What does that mean? What does that mean about the?
It's dumb.
But it's blind faith.
No. Blind faith is if I don't know the reason. He's not saying I don't know the reason. He's saying there is no reason. It's a test. What do you mean it's a test? It's not just a test. It's what do you mean by test?
Because you're acting on something that doesn't make sense to you.
Okay, what about...
Okay,
here's the question. When Rashi says there is no reason, what does he mean there is no reason? There's no reason other than... Correct, the fact that God said to. So why did God say to? Why did God say to?
Because he has his reason.
No. According to Rashi, no. This is the digging down. It's not because I have my reasons. So you ask God. If you would ask God deep down, if you could talk to God according to Rashi and say, God, but why did you do it? And God said, no reason. No, but not. Not no reason, meaning what's the deep meaning? What's the understanding? How should I understand this beautiful mitzvah? So, no, there's no reason. I do it like
because
said.
Because
I said so.
Right.
Don't we talk about that once? Because I said so? We did say that we do that once, didn't we? Yeah. Yeah?
It seems to me like that it's connected to creation. Like you're creating a new...
Wow, you should just give the shiur today. That's good. Why do you say that? No, you're going to see. She's exactly right. She hit Rashi, now she's getting to Ramban. We're going to go into Ramban in depth. Very good.
I'm thinking of it in terms of like the three things that we're prohibited to do that warrant death. And one of them is murder, because you're taking death, you're acting like God. So in creation, that's where my mind was going. I'm not equating this to murder, but
One of the other topics I wanted to talk to, I was thinking about talking about was Kiddush Hashem, about dying like Kiddush Hashem. So that's it. I don't agree with that.
I'm just saying, in my mind, that God, there's certain things that are in God's hand.
Yeah.
Life and death, we give over to God.
Uh-huh.
And this is life. This is creating something new that God didn't, you know.
By that measure, then, you should be able to be a doctor. Because life and death are in the hands of God.
No, because it's not the same thing. You're a shaliah.
Now you're splitting hairs.
You asked me how to
do that. Right. Okay. Okay, so the formulation of Rashi is fascinating. Chukim elu gzeirat melech she'ein tam ledavar. Like it seems that Rashi needs to say here that there are some mitzvot ein tam ledavar, meaning there's a lot of other mitzvot in the Torah that we like. Lo tikom v'lo titor. Right? You're not allowed to take vengeance. Can we understand that? We could see people doing it, but we understand why God would tell us don't be vengeful people. Yeah, he didn't lend you his rake. So what? You know what I'm saying? For whatever reason, it doesn't matter why. Be the better person. We love it. So there's a danger involved in coming to say, these mitzvot are great. Okay, how do you feel about the mitzvot that you don't like? How do you feel about the mitzvot that you don't associate with, that you can't understand? So comes along Rashi and says, not only are there mitzvot that you can't understand, there are mitzvot that you can't understand because there's no reason. This is the fancy one.
No, the one with the sources.
49. Oh, I'm sorry, the wrong. 49. Terat Kohanim, Yud Chet.
Yeah. Who said it first?
What context?
The meaning is Rashi taking Chazal in context or out of context?
Yes, and who said it and why would he say it?
So we have the. We have. You mean this one?
What? What? Yeah, Irina's like, he's like, I'm not staying. One second. No, he doesn't. So if you get lucky, what happens in this chumash, if you have this chumash, everybody should own this chumash. I think I've said it like 100 times. Okay? I haven't said it recently. This is a beautiful chumash because he quotes the Rashi. He has Rashi. And then you see he blacks it out or whatever. Then that tells you, I brought the midrash, what Rashi is based upon. Right, but the better chumash would be A, if he put it in black print, right? If he put the Rashi in black print and did all of them.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We'll have to do that in the next version.
It would be like 80 volumes.
No, it wouldn't. No, just the Midrash and the Rashi is based on. Okay. So this, 1 second, what? Right, this is called Torah Shlema. Okay, this compendium, this obscenely ridiculous compendium, was put together by a man named Rabbi Menachem Kasher. Of Kasher, I think he survived the Holocaust, and then moved to Manhattan. And he spent the rest of his life working on this and a bunch of other things. Most of this work, and this is unbelievable, this was before computers and before. So he basically put together all the midrashim that he could find on every pasuk in the Torah, right? But the real power is what he did is the bottom, is the footnotes. Because in the footnotes he would tell you, and I found a slightly different version in this version of the Midrash. I think he spent a lot of time in the JTS library, the Jewish Theological Seminary library, which at one point and probably still is today the largest library outside of Israel of Jewish manuscripts. That's a, where are we? Yutet. Rina, I'm doing this for you. Yutet. What? What? Dvir can wait. Okay. Whatever. Okay. Irina, you have to look. There's a lot of midrashim. What did he quote?
My after-school treat.
Yeah. No, there's a lot of long midrashim about it, but you have to find it. Yeah, I don't know. Rashi never quotes anything that it's not based on a midrash. Okay, so.
Almost never.
Comes on the Ramban. Let's look at the Ramban. See you later. It comes on the Ramban. Look at Ramban. For those of you who have Ramban, we're gonna read it somewhat extensively. Okay. So do you not have? Some of you not have? Can you share together? You don't have? Do you both have? You have a Ramban?
Yes.
You do? Can you guys share? Can Laura? Can you guys? You're fine. You sure? Because we're gonna read it. It's a little bit extensive. So there's the Ramban. Et chukotai tishmaru. He quotes Rashi. These are the chukim that have no time. See, I'm on Ramban on Yud Teh. V'lo hiskiru rabotenu. Okay, and the sages did not mention what the reason was. Shiye hatam ne'elam. Okay, that the time is ne'elam, was hidden. V'shiyu yetzer hara. The akum mishivim aleim ela belevishat shatnes. That's the answer. Rashi is based on a Gemara in Yuma. Okay, says what's the reason the Gemara in Yuma samach zayin? What's the reason why the Chazal said that the reason is missing? That the Yetzer Hara should say, right? Like the Yetzer Hara would say, why can't you wear shatnes? Says because the people would say that there's no reason for the mitzvot, that you should have a reason for the akum, for the nations of the world, and the Yetzer Hara to tell you, don't listen to these mitzvot. I mean, there has to be places for a person to be able to subdue his logic. And so that's what the Gemara says. So he says, but the Ramban says, they only said that about sha'nes. Lo b'kla'ei behima. Okay? It doesn't say it about kla'ei behima. And he's going to tell you, what's the kla'ei behima? Kla'im of animals and kla'im of the field. Ve'en ha'kavana behem, she'tiyeh gzeirat melech malchei ha'melachim b'shum makom b'lotam. Okay. The intention, their intention is not that this is a gzeira of the King of Kings everywhere below time without a reason. Ki kol imrat Eloha tsurufa. All of the sayings of God are tsurufa. Are tsaruf means they're, it's like metal, it's like refined. Rak achukim hem gzeirat melech asher yachuk b'malchuto belish yegale te'olatam la'am. He doesn't mean, I don't know if he means Rashi doesn't mean, or Rashi is wrong. He says, there's a reason. There's got to be a reason. Everything God says is for a reason. But when we say that there is no reason, what it means is, we don't know the reason. Now, Rashi did not say that. Rashi said specifically, ein tam ledavar. Rashi knows how to write if he wants to tell us that we don't know the reason. Rashi says there is no reason. Rambam says, no, that's not possible. Ve'en ha'am nehenim bahem, we can't benefit from them. Aval meharharim achareihem belibam, umekablim otam liyirat ha'malchut. We wonder what the reason is, and we accept it. But we accept it based on the notion that there is a reason. There must always be a reason. Must there always be a reason? Is because I said so good enough? No?
Sometimes. No, there should be a reason.
No. We say to our children, do it because I said so.
Because they can't, we understand something they don't understand, and they're not ready to hear the reason.
Correct.
They can't accept it.
But the understanding is?
There is a reason.
Right. Right. A parent,
from their perspective, they don't understand.
What would you say about a parent who said, because I said so, really because I said so?
Well, then the reason is to create a disciplined child who does what the parent says. It just reminds me of the army. Like, they give them all these quick, wake them up at 3 a.m. and tell them to stop moving bricks from one side to the other.
Really dumb stuff?
Really dumb stuff.
Oh, since I didn't talk about dumb stuff yet.
No, dumb stuff. Well, stuff that...
Maybe he doesn't tell us.
Or don't speak now for 2 hours. You're not allowed to speak.
Right.
You need to book 2 hours. Like, there's a reason that from 6 to 8, you're not allowed to speak.
Correct.
The reason is to make you into chaya. To obey and to be a disciplined person and to listen to what your mefaked says whenever he says it. To subdue your ego and your logic. So that when you're in some kind of a situation where you have to... You are not making a choice. You're in a situation they don't want you to make a choice.
I love that. It's so powerful. Because we can accept that when it comes to soldiers. But we can't accept that.
We're
you know, that makes me think. Oh, that's exactly what I was thinking. See what I share, right? That's exactly what I was thinking of. Did you also kind of register, you know, when you were kids? See what I share? You know what I'm talking about? Oh, when I was a kid, I remember Chabad came out with this whole thing. And you could send out to them. They had this... Did they have it? But they had a magazine. They had a magazine called Sivos Hashem, I think. What? Present tense? I sent away. I got a little like wallet thing, right? You get a thing and you would like do whatever they would tell you to do and you would send back. Of course, I gave up after like 3 months because like 3 months in, there was some kid in Borough Park who was like, you know, Sergeant Major or something. And I've got like 10 points or something, you know? But yeah, it was beautiful. They let girls sign up. Gius Banot. I can't believe it. It was a great thing. I remember it very fondly. They still do it.
Yeah, my kids go to a Chabad.
And they literally have the same thing?
Exactly the same thing.
I don't know how. Like, what's that?
My kids are not Chabad.
No, it's fine.
There's lots of kids that love it. It's exactly the same.
So this idea of meaning. Why do we think in it? But it's like, it's a funny joke, but it's not a funny joke. Okay. I would submit that according to Rashi would say, yes, there are things that a Kadosh Baruch Hu tells you to do because he said to do them. You know, it reminds me of, like, there's a Kamimra in Chazal, and that Chazal say, does God really care if you slaughter the animal from the front or the back? Like, what's the difference how you kill the animal, how you slaughter the animal? He tells you, you have to slaughter the animal in this way. Does it matter one way or the other, cosmically? Hard to say. So does it matter, like, do these animals not to put together? Or, like, you know, does it really matter cosmically? Rashi would say it doesn't matter at all. But there are certain things where God says, do it because I said so. And that doing it because I said so is important, not what you do. That's a hard thing for people to put to wrap their head around. What? Is he, but no. Wouldn't the most humane way to kill an animal to be to put it to sleep?
No, today it's uncommon. Yeah, a cat gun apparently is much quicker than a shooter.
No, yeah, no way. I mean, it's... I'll take that back. Can I ask you a question? Is there any humane way to kill an animal so you can eat its flesh?
I didn't say humane.
Most humane. You know, the most humane way to treat an animal? Yeah. That reminds me of one of my favorite sayings from my grandfather. My grandfather used to say, you like fish? We would go fishing in the back of his house in Miami Beach, because there was like a disgusting canal. We would never catch anything. But, you know, he would just like to sit with us and we'd go fishing. He said, you like fish? I said, oh, Zeta, we love fish. He said, you know what the fish say? You like me? Leave me alone. He loved to say that. And it reminds me, so that I had a rab who said that we like to say that. We don't like fish. What do we like?
No.
I like me. Right? The fish makes me taste good. If you like the fish, you won't touch, you know, you grow fish. Anyway, okay. I hope none. Torah says you can eat meat. Eat meat, be my guest. Okay. Yes. No, you're fine.
Okay, but there's this idea that we were vegetarians, we were allowed to eat meat because we couldn't be on that level, and that there's this idea that one day we will return to being vegetarians after, I don't know.
It all depends on how you view, like Adam Arishon in Gan Eden, right? That what was their existence in Gan Eden? You know what I'm saying? That it was. I believe that Gan Eden represents a totally different spiritual plane, where physicality is not the same physicality, and human needs are not the same human needs. We should get there one day. But
my point is though that there's this idea that vegetarian is the ideal moral spiritual level.
Rav Kook did say that. Rav Kook also wrote that people tend to substitute that for listening to the Torah. You know what I'm saying? That it becomes an end, the means, the end, and not the means to achieve something. Rav Kook himself was a vegetarian. He was, and you know, he believed that one day the korbanot would come to be. You know, we would offer the korbanot mincha. I think, I don't remember exactly, but the idea is to subjugate yourself to the Torah. And this comes back to our discussion. I had a colleague, a conservative colleague, who Shomer Torah Mitzvot in West Hartford, Connecticut, and he was a devout vegetarian, and say even on the Seder plate, he would put a sweet potato instead of, why did he put a piece of sweet potato? He called it the Paschal Yam. It was very good. So I said, what would you do if they built a Beit HaMikdash? He said, I wouldn't be happy, but I'd eat it. And I had so much respect for that, because that's saying, I have trouble with this. I don't believe in it. It's a struggle for me. But when I'm forced, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, eat that meat, eat the meat. That's what you do. Why? Because your morality is not above and beyond that which the Ribono Shel Olam asks you for. Okay, that's a very beautiful idea. That's a very powerful idea. I have a lot of respect for that. Okay, so let's go back on we're in the Ramban. Okay, he says, So he says, Ramban says, there are reasons. Even in the Chukim, we accept them. It's not that there is no reason. The Chukim of God, Hem HaSodot, Asher lo b'Torah, these are the secrets in the Torah. She'ein ha'am b'machshavtam nehenim b'hem. The nation in their thoughts do not benefit from them. K'mishpatim, like mishpatim that we can understand, don't murder, follow traffic laws, etc. Ava kulam b'tam nachon b'to'elet shleima. All of them have tam nachon, have the right tam, the right reason, v'to'elet shleima, and complete benefit. There is no such thing as a mitzvah God gives just because I said so. It's not just to induce discipline. Before we stop here, we'll stop here for a second. Which do you find more compelling?
This one.
Really?
Yeah.
You just gave me an example that the army makes them do things for no reason just because, to instill discipline.
There is a reason, but the reason is to do the thing, not to do the thing.
Why can't you say the same thing about shatnez, about kulayim? Same thing. Do the thing.
Do the thing.
Right, because I said so.
I think you're going to have what? To elaborate.
No, but that means, of course, Rashi...
Well, we don't have enough.
Wait, you think Rashi... Oh. The other 790 of them are not enough. I do this. Obviously, God felt none. Obviously not.
No, it's much easier to say there's a cosmic reason why.
I don't know. Like, you mean that nothing God tells us to do just because he tells you to do it?
Yeah, it can't be.
I don't know. I think it's also creating what? Some kind of a hierarchy.
What do you mean?
On his level.
Yes, you're supposed to strive for that. Of course. Without that, then everything is, you know, I don't know. Like, there's no level of, like, we live in our democratic minds that everything has to be understood to me. We have no concept of malchut.
That doesn't have to be
understood. No concept of subject.
There has to be
understanding. No, but that's not subjugation. No, it's not. Subjugation, you doing it because you say, even though I don't understand it, I trust that you have a reason. But that means I'm doing it because I want to do it, because I accept it. Not because I'm subservient. Do you understand? Meaning you're not, I'm not willing to give up that last level to say, I don't need to know, I trust you, it's fine. That's a level of trust. But the last level is the level where I say, not only do I trust you, I don't think there's a reason. I think you just want me to, and I'm doing it because you want me to.
But in the end, that's what we do, because we don't end
up. You think it's semantics? We're just arguing semantics? I don't think it's semantics.
We
I
need
think it's
to
fundamental.
Know that the God that we serve is a humane, logical, greater God. That he wouldn't be just metazizing with stuff. We have to believe that he has a moral and a greater picture that we can rely on. Not that we are that he would just chasing us around to keep us entertained.
It's not to keep us entertained. What's the purpose?
Keep us disciplined.
But maybe that discipline is the best thing for us. Maybe that is the very best thing you can do. What? No, that's do it because I said so. Okay, so in the end, so what? That's what you said. Move the brick around. Do it because I said do it. Do it to do it, not it.
So that you will become the best person, the best higher, the most obedient servant of God. But that is a reason in the cosmic picture.
Correct, but not to do this, not it.
Yeah,
to
but
do.
There's still no reason for the chakras.
Then there's still no reason for the chakras, or still no reason for this. Yeah.
Right? And how many of us actually like really think about it?
Well, that's why we're sitting here.
Right. Shatnas, yeah. Take to be checked for shatnas. Why? Because I know I have to take it to check for shatnas. I don't think, why am I doing this?
Oh, Derech Agav, that brings a question. If I bought a suit here in Israel that's at a Haredi chain, do I still have to have a check for shatnas? At Bagir? What? If you bought in America, you do.
That they don't check for shatnas and it's not
suit,
check
like
in Bagir? Is there a play guy here who'll check?
Yeah. I think there's somebody in Kiryat Malachi. It's been asked before.
What? I gotta take my suit to be. All right, I'm gonna find it. I gotta ask an Israeli who knows. Right. What? I'll call the store. Okay. I'll ask them. Malachi on my side. Gotta love Israel where I like.
Like if I have a wool sweater, you have to bring that in? A wool coat, you have to bring that in?
Wool coat for sure. Wool coat, absolutely.
My
I'm hoping that this Bagir or whatever, that's an Israeli chain, and they have these things made in China for them, that they wouldn't use linen, whatever.
They wouldn't certify for us.
What?
They would not certify for us. They would not take
it's
any.
It's not 100%.
There was a Talit chain, one of the Talit stores that was making Talit just for one of the Hasidic groups, and it turned out that they were.
No.
I'm just saying, even though it's,
Oops. Yeah, what, they've used the wrong thread or something?
It's the same thing. Would you say, like, if it doesn't have a hechsher, I don't know. It's because you bought it from there. I don't think it's necessarily inside of the stuff.
I'll take that. I'll take that, Musar. No problem. What?
No, it's possible that they're keeping...
No, I if I were them, I wouldn't take responsibility.
I bought some carpets that have a hechsher on the back being checked for shatnas.
Carpets?
Carpets.
You're not wearing them. Okay. Okay, that's what he said. Ramban said, Kulam b'tam nachon b'to'el shleima. They all have a reason. There is a reason. I don't know. I can't tell you what the reason always is, but they all have a reason. Now, what about this mitzvah? What about klaim? V'hatam beklaim. Ki bara Hashem, ki Hashem bara min haminim ba'olam, b'chol ba'alei hanefashot batzmachim u'ba'alei nefesh hatnu'ah. When God created different species, okay? B'chol ba'alei hanefashot batzmachim, every plant has a certain nefesh. U'ba'alei nefesh hatnu'ah, and every nefesh has the power of movement. V'natan bahem koach hatolada, and he gave them the power of reproduction. Sh'yitkaimu haminim bahem la'ad, Kozman Shirtseh, that they should be able to be sustained. Kozman Shirtseh, who yidbarach b'kiyum ha'olam, as long as God wanted the world to continue. V'tziva b'kocham, and he commanded in their koach, in their force, shiyotziu b'minehem, that they should reproduce according to their own species. V'lo yishtanu la'ad le'olam, and they should never change forever. Shene'emar, as it says about all of them, that God created them, le'minehu. That God created each one according to its three species. And this is why you're not allowed to mix animals, one with the other. That's why God believes in heterosexuality, because man was created in order to procreate. Okay, that's one reason. V'hamarkiv, and is anybody with me? You following? You see where I am? Good. V'hamarkiv shnei minim. Person who combines two species, mishane u'makhish b'maaseh bereshit. He is changing and denying the creation of the world. Ki'ilu yachshov shelo hishlim hakadosh baruch hu ba'olamo. As if he thinks, well, God didn't create a complete world. Kol hatzorech, everything that's necessary. V'yachpotu la'azor b'briyato shel olam la'osif bo briyot. He said, well, God, you know, you didn't make a... I don't know. Nectarine. What? That's what you're going to say too? So, I really, peaches are all fine, but the fuzziness I can't deal with. I personally can't, obviously. Right? So, I thank God when somebody came out. It wasn't long ago, but they always had nectarines. Like, so they gave me a peach without the fuzzies. What could be better? They are grown in Israel. Of course they're grown in Israel. First of all, who says that Israel keeps any of these mitzvot? Like, you know, these are multinational corporations.
That's what I was wondering. What is it? How does that, like, GMO food, like tomatoes? You have a tomato, and then you have a cherry tomato. Is that considered a new species?
Well, don't get me wrong, first of all. Aren't there, don't the vegetarians also not like GMO food? Uh-huh. Don't they, you know what I'm saying? That they're genetically, GMO stands for genetically modified. Oh. It's a chok. I don't know what it means. What? Right.
That's my question. If you have carrots were genetically modified to be orange, they were initially white. Mm-hmm. So is an orange, like, is that in the same category?
Derech Agav, I always like to say that if Chazal came from their time and they saw the fruits and vegetables that we eat, they wouldn't have any idea what we eat. Mm-hmm. They have no idea. It doesn't look anything like, even our wheat. You got the wheat that we have is like 1,000 times as bountiful. Which just really indicates that they would say we're living in Yemot HaMashiach, but that's another thing entirely.
Is there a difference between mixing two seeds from two different products?
Yes, absolutely.
And taking the actual seed. Absolutely. And modifying one seed.
Modifying one. I don't know. I'm not a posek for that. You know what I'm saying? It's a complicated halakha question. But once the seed exists, you can plant it. Okay. There's no isura of planting a seed that exists, of taking a species that exists. There's an isura of combining different species to get different. Now, just so you know, by the way. Chazal talk about different species. You can graft, like, for example, one of the ways that they get really good etrogim is to graft an etrog branch onto a lemon tree. Because etrog trees are generally very weak. You know, so the lemon trees are very strong. As anybody who has a lemon tree knows, like, yeah. It's almost impossible to kill them. They just keep coming, like lemons. So they do that. But then there are people that will want a hechsher on their etrog that it wasn't grafted on a lemon tree because maybe it's not a real etrog. I don't know. Whatever. But those are citrus.
Allowed,
those are considered the same species.
To graft those.
Oh, yeah. You can definitely graft. Grafting was grafting is an ancient, yeah. Ancient, what's it called? An ancient technique. It's brought down in the Mishnah. If you learn Zeraim. But you can't graft different species. I can't graft an orange thing to an apple tree.
Okay.
That you're not allowed to do. Those are two different species.
No, same family.
Citrus, right. Correct. Correct. Goes by families. But then what do you do with, what do you get a nectarine from? It's a plum. What do they do to? What?
Probably a peach and a plum.
Genus, family, I don't know which one it is. You know what I'm saying? Chazal actually have their rules. There is halachot about this that I don't know well enough. Anyway, fascinatingly enough, says Ramban, someone who puts two species together is denying Maaseh Bereishit. They're denying creation of the world. Okay? That we're going to read a little bit. V'chol, therefore, v'aminim b'balei chayim lo yolidu min b'she'eino mino. There is a limit, by the way, to what you can graft. It won't work at some point. So, like, it's a, like, you can't pair a chicken with a cow. It's not going to give you. It's not going to give you anything. You can try. What?
According to Google,
that's definitely true. What's the next thing?
It's not a cross between a. It's not. It's originated in China.
What is it?
It's its own species that originated in China over 2,000 years ago.
Excellent. Oh, we're good. We're good. You know what is? You know what is unnatural? Seedless watermelons. Those are totally unnatural, but they're great. Thank God somebody figured that one out. What?
Mermaids?
Mermaids?
Well, you were saying
that. How do you make those? I didn't know.
Some of them don't take, you were saying.
Ah, no, that's what he said. Hakrovim b'teva shiyodu mehem. Things that are made are out of a mix in nature. Kugon hapradim, mules. How do you get a mule?
A donkey
and a horse, right? Mules are, anybody know? They're sterile. They're born sterile. Mules do not produce, yes. Mules do not. Yikaret zaram kihem lo yolidu. You can create, like, so God created rules in the world of things you can put together, things you can't put together, things that if you put together it'll work one generation, but it will knock itself out. Vihine mitzad shnei advarim ha'ele, from these two matters, peulat ha'harkava, harkava means grafting different species. Davar nim'as ubatel. Okay, this is something that's nim'as, that's repulsive, ubatel, and will be lost. V'gam atzmachim asher yitkar rakvu min b'she'eino minu. Even plants, en parim someach achar chakach. They don't grow well. V'yu b'isuram shnei tamim shnizkarim. And these are prohibited as well. Now, sadly, or not sadly, if you'd follow the logic, you're like, there is, I'm saying Karen is furiously Googling, they have grafted different things together. I mean, okay, the nectarines we're okay with, but there are many, many plants today. I would argue the other way around. Not many plants. There are very few plants that are, I don't know, the original plants are impossible to know. What's that?
Grapefruit.
Is it an original?
Mm-hmm.
What is it?
It's from a sweet orange, initially from China that was brought over to Jamaica.
How they mix it, what they mix it with?
Lemon.
Right. With a lemon?
I don't know.
Maybe those are the same thing.
Sweet orange and pomelo are grapefruit.
Okay. Okay, that's one reason. So first reason, Ramban says, what's the reason why all these kalayim are prohibited? Is because God built the world with certain things, with certain rules, and if you try to improve upon creation, you're denying that God created the world. Yeah.
But on the other hand, we say that the world was not built completely.
Wait. Excellent. Let's one more. No, really. These are. This is a beautiful sugya because it raises so many interesting issues. Like it goes deep down into the reasons for the mitzvot and why to create the world and how to create the world. I'm skipping a little bit. Okay, I just want to read the second part of the Ramban. Umechavareinu mosif batam. I'm skipping like 5 lines. Umechavareinu mosif batam. If you see it, you have it. Good. Umechavareinu, he says, is like my friend. Okay. Maybe Rab Azriel, who says, he quotes, whatever. I have another reason. Hatam Aklai, another reason. Ki hu shelo le'arbev hakochot hamegadlim atzmachim liyot yonkim ze mizeh. Not to mix the spiritual forces that are causing these plants to grow. Okay? Mimasha amru b'breishit rabah. There's a beautiful midrash that says the following. Amar Rabbi Simon. Said Rabbi Simon, "Ein lecha kol esev ve'esev milamata." There is no blade of grass in this world, she'ein lo mazal berakia, that has not a spiritual power in the heavens. Umakeh oto, who is striking it va'omer lo gadel, tells it to grow. Hahu dichtiv hayadata chukot shamayim im tasi mishtero ba'aretz. Okay, that's the meaning of the verse in Eov that says, you know the powers above that cause things to grow. Meaning, what do you think? There's nature? Things just happen? No, the whole world, there's a tremendous intermingling of the physical and the spiritual. And that everything that happens in the physical world, down to the tiniest blade of grass, is connected to something spiritual above. We don't think about it ever. But if you think about it, why do grass grow? Why do weeds grow? Why does anything grow? You know what I'm saying? There's a life force in all of those things. Everything that has a life force. And you want to talk about inanimate objects? I don't know. But anything with a life force. Where does that life force come from? Just happens? No. There's a mazalot. And therefore, hine, hamakiv markiv klaim or zoram, if you mix species together, plant them, begidei sheyinaku ze mizeh, in order for them to wean one from the other, to glean, mevatel chukot shamayim. You are negating the cosmic powers. You're messing with nature. You're not messing with physical nature. You're messing with spiritual nature. Okay? So on the one hand, you're denying God, and you're messing with nature. You're messing with spiritual nature. Some people will tell you, you know, I mean, I'm sure you've heard, like, you know, there was a whole thing about, like, maybe 5 years ago, that all the bees were dying.
Yeah. They still are.
Still are dying.
Still.
Why are the bees dying? They think.
They also think it's to do with cutting down the trees in the Amazon.
Nobody knows. Nobody knows. Would it really shock anybody? Don't they, like, isn't, like, there's this whole genre of literature called dystopian science fiction, right? Mm. Right? And so one of the powerful themes in dystopian science fiction is that one day all the plants are going to die. Why? I'm looking at Laura because I'm looking at Dijano. You don't read dystopian science fiction?
No, I do.
Wasn't there?
Well, not science fiction, dystopian. Yeah.
Like, well, dystopian, like, whatever, the future.
All science fiction.
Right. That I think I saw a movie like this. It was like a movie about, like, different planes and the sky, whatever. Not different planes of existence or something. The sky went into space and they had to find a new world. The reason why they had to find a new world is because there were, like, there was, like, even in, like, all the plants were dying and everything was a dust bowl. There was, like, dust everywhere. You know what I'm talking about? You guys didn't see this movie? You saw the movie?
Yeah, there's a little plant that they were protecting.
Right, they were trying to keep it. And every crop that they planted was dying out. Why do we think that's going to happen? Because there's this innate sense, there's this fear that we're messing with nature. We're, like, that the world is this very, very, very delicate balance. And when you mess with something, that doesn't happen on its own, right? It has a cost.
I mean, that's the whole thing that they're. That's the whole.
See, it's. What's that?
Global warming.
I'm not saying I'm advocating for the cost or not, but that's the whole thing, that our behavior is affecting climate change and global warming and the.
See, but climate change is. I don't want to get into it. It's because it's interesting. The people who believe in climate change generally don't believe in creation. You know what I'm saying? So, can you believe that God created the world and that man can mess it up?
Got Eden.
What? Well, we got kicked out of. We got kicked out of God. We got kicked out of Gan Eden. We didn't mess up Gan Eden. We got kicked out of Gan Eden. Interesting question. That's the Ramban. Okay. So we learned. Until now, we learned the Ramban. The Ramban. We learned Rashi. Rashi said there's no main reason. We learned Ramban. Ramban says of course there's a reason. We just don't know the reason. We don't know the reason for Shatnez, but we do know the reason for Kilayim. And what's the reason for Klein? One, because if you mess up with the world, you're denying that God created it, because he did a pretty good job, he doesn't need your help. And two, you can mess up the world. Okay? You can, you know, God created certain things, there's powerful forces. If you want the, what's the name of that beautiful flower?
Convolvulus.
Convolvulus to grow. The blue things, they're like fluorescent blue. It's like really crazy blue flowers. Don't mix them with something else. Okay? What's that? Well, you're thinking, but the way you say Shemitah, that's the nutrients to replenish themselves. It's not a spiritual sense. That's in a very physical meaning. You know,
I think there's a connection.
I feel like there's a
respect of
connection. I don't necessarily agree with the connection in this case to Shemitah, because Shemitah is very much about, I don't think that's a chok at all. That's about, it's not your land, it's his land. Land is the thing that people connect to the most of possession and ownership and physicality. And God, and Shemitah is one of those things where God said, stop what you're doing, exactly like Shabbat. You know, in the most fundamental way, the thing that's most critical to your survival, stop what you're doing and have trust and have faith. Like that, I think, is such a logical thing. Ironically, that we don't keep to today. We talked about that before.
I have a question about the original question. Is Ramban saying, this is a hook and this is the reason I think it is? But I'm not sure, I don't really understand. Or this is a hook and I found the reason. Because then I'm changing my mind, I'm going back to Rashi.
Why?
Because then you could just argue against the reason.
So in the whole...
Miriam said we have to finish the world.
Great.
Look, we're improving the world. Go on.
In the whole, I would say he would say B, because in the whole, meaning this,
I think
there's a reason.
I think this might be the reason.
The reason why is because in the whole discussion of Tamei HaMitzvot, do we need to know reasons for Mitzvot in general? One of the reasons why, so they asked the question, if we needed to know the reason for Mitzvot, then why did God tell us the reasons are?
Mm-hmm.
Just tell us, do this because I did this, do this because of that. Mm-hmm. Because the problem with Tamei HaMitzvot is,
you can argue against
it. Well, they say about Shlomo HaMelech, who said he was the most chacham, so it said, why lo yarben el nashim? Why should the king have more than 18 wives? Lo yasur levavo. The Torah says, v'lo yasur levavo. Right? The reason why a king should have more than 18 wives, okay, is because, so that they should not turn his heart away. What does Shlomo say? I'm good, I'm fine. So he married 1,000 women. And what happened?
Oy.
Right. Exactly. Right. So I'm sure Ramban would agree and say, these are the reasons that I found. Okay? Right. But even if you would argue me that these are not reasons are not correct, you still have to keep it.
Right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, look at, so I quoted you the Midrash. This is the Midrash on line number 4. Sword sheets. Can you believe it? Okay. Amar Rabbi Simon. Ein lecha kol esev ve'esev. This is the Midrash that Ramban quoted. There's no grass. Milimata. She'en lo mazal berikia. That doesn't have a mazal. The word mazal means a spiritual force, mazalot. Right? Do you believe that there are spiritual forces connected to the physical world? All right, I got to stop for a second. Think about it in a virtual sense. This is how I think about it. Right? If I created a virtual world, and I wanted there to be grass in the virtual world, I would have to program the grass. There'd have to be something that's beyond, that's telling the grass to grow in my world. It wouldn't just happen on its own. Somebody couldn't just come along and put grass. It would have to be connected to some deeper program. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu did the same. He created. The grass doesn't happen. But there's a power that's giving it. That's connecting it. You know, it's one of the things about gardening. Nothing happens on its own. But yeah, there are rules. But and then the end either grows or it doesn't grow. It has a mazal or it doesn't have a mazal. Okay. And that's what you have quoted. It's line 7. Says the Maharal is in Gur Aryeh. Gur Aryeh is a commentary on Rashi. So it's a commentary of the Maharal. Maharal was the Maharal of Prague. He lived in the 15th century. Okay? So he said, Kashali al tam zesh natan Ramban. I have a problem. I'm in line 8. I have a problem with the Ramban said. Ki hamirbim, these people who are marbiim, who are combining species, the Ramban says, it's as if you say that God didn't create the world. So what? The sages said, and another midrash, everything that God created needs to be improved upon, needs to be fixed. Like wheat. Right? What's our job in the world? Our job in the world is to take the raw materials that God gave us in the world and to improve upon them. Exactly what Miriam said. God did not say, we don't say, well, God created the world complete, so eat the wheat. No, make the bread. Okay? This is one of the things they said about the mitzvah of circumcision. That's the whole point, that God created man incomplete, in order for us to complete ourselves. Im kein, if so, ma shayach bezeshin yirah ki ilu omer, shakadosh baruch hu lo hishlim olamo. How can you say that it's as if God didn't create the world? Now, do you agree with the association of wheat and kila'im? Do you agree with that connection? Do you agree with that question? You understand what I'm saying? He's saying, how could Ramban say the world is not complete? God gave us wheat and we have to work on it in order to complete it.
That's the perfect thing.
Right.
Mixing it with body to make something new.
Correct. The weed itself is perfect. You have to work on something using the raw materials. Here we're saying that God, the raw materials themselves are not complete, which is why the second proof is an even better proof. Right, Mila, because Mila, that man is created in such a way, and we're saying that we're not complete. But then what would Ramban argue back?
God commanded us to give him.
Oh. Very good. About Bivadai. So he, therefore he says, interesting. So there is a response to every question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And also it's in human beings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not changing nature in and of itself. We're not fundamentally changing the nature of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Each human being, we're not how should we say? We're not breeding human beings to be born naturally circumcised. Oh, people are born without an orla. That's possible. But you could then say, okay, aval bevadai, behemtech alo tarbiya klaim yesh tam. There's a reason. Dehu meshaneh chukot ha'olam ladbik aminim nivdalim zeh mizeh. Because you're changing the chukot ha'olam, the statutes of the world, the laws of nature. Because every species is separate for itself. He is connecting things that are separate and disparate. So what he's doing, the Maharal is saying something really interesting. It says, Et chukotai tishmoru. Let's go back to the pasuk. You should guard my chukim. What chukim?
Natures of law.
Laws of nature. Behem techalo tabi aklayim. Don't mess around with my nature. Why not? If it's a law of nature, how could you mess around with it?
Well,
rules are meant to be broken?
What do you mean by the law?
Chukot ha'olam. What? It's hard to say.
What about science?
What about a cherry tomato?
Biology.
What?
Genetically. Things that are making the world so much better by taking old things and mixing them together and taking them apart in order to heal people and create new things.
So one would argue, genetic splicing. I think is a problem.
I'm not so much genetic.
Why? Why? It's the same thing. They're doing the same thing.
Like on animals?
Or even plants. Why? You'd be okay with it in plants?
Or even checking embryos. I mean, you have embryos.
There's
a
trait that's
passed down.
Genetic. The idea of science and research.
So
what is the idea of
science? By the way, there's two ways of doing it. There's what's called, you know, natural selection, where they breed, like they breed wheat, and then they say, okay, which is the strongest wheat? Which is the most resistant? And they'll take that. And they'll mix it with other wheat. You know what I'm saying? Trying to find wheat that has certain genetic qualities and to find the strongest, you know, the strongest wheat. That's great. And that's fine. That's appropriate. But then what happens when you're, like, it really comes down to, I guess, questions of creation. The person who believes in something says, God created the world with a certain amount of kochot. You know, to say that we're not benefiting from them is very difficult to say. So in the end, what are you left with? Yeah, they made the world better. They made the world more powerful. We're feeding more people in the world. We're not, you know, the wheat is less susceptible to blight. It grows better. So what's the answer? Why shouldn't we have it?
More autoimmune diseases.
All right. You're making that up. Okay.
No, they're bad effects from the
genetic. That's fine. Are they worth? So unless the world
and
goes out of, you know, unless the blight comes, is it not worth it? More autoimmune diseases. Not for the person who has it. We're feeding the world, aren't we?
But some of them are like the mules. They can't regenerate themselves.
So, okay, then we don't use those when they can't regenerate themselves. So what's the answer? Then why wouldn't we have all these benefits? Why shouldn't we do it? Come on, what's the answer?
Because
God said so. They're not the laws of creation. They're not. If they were laws of creation, then they would work. They wouldn't work. That's what Ramban says. It won't work. It can't. It's not possible. The answer is, God said so. Don't do it. I created the world in this way.
Back to Rashi. Mm-hmm.
Because all of Ramban's answers, so either you go on the spiritual, either you go on the spiritual and say, this is going against God's name, the nature of the world, and you're mixing the kochot. Okay, we don't understand that. That's a chok too, by the way. We have no knowledge of that. But to say, well, it's ineffective and you're ruining the world, so either you write your novel and, you know, we'll see what happens in the end. We hope not. Or you say, like, God created the world in a certain way. I believe in that creation. He gave us all the tools we need. So we have to use the tools that are permitted to use. You know, we do that all the time in many other areas of life. We use the tools that we're permitted to use. Wouldn't we be better off if we use that tool? You know what I'm saying? The answer is yes, in some ways, but in other ways, no. So we have, and that's a level of trust that we need to sort sometimes have in nature itself. And that's why we come back to Rashi. There's a certain level of obedience in everything. A Jew keeps the Torah because we believe that God created the world. A Jew listens to God's statutes because we believe that whatever he says is for the best. And when he tells me to take that brick and carry it from here to there, there could be no reason at all. But I do it anyway. Because I have trust and I have faith. And it's that, and to me, it's that trust and that faith, I think, that's most compelling. Because without it, there's always that level of, okay, well, what do I think? Like, it's only in that ability to reach, to yearn for that negation when we find emunah, I think. Stop here.